I'm so thankful for your presence this morning. It's good to be here. It's good to see one another. Thankful for the prayers that were offered on my behalf in regards to the little bit of surgery that we had done here, remove a basal cell carcinoma. Which had to go just one level and close it back up. The repair looks worse than actually what it was, but it really doesn't look bad. Tuesday, the stitches are supposed to come out, so we're all good. We're very thankful for that. Vicki, is it very sorry to hear about your cousin. You have our sympathies. I want to present a lesson this morning that certainly the song we just sung helps to prepare our hearts for that. If you were paying attention to those words, O Savior, our Redeemer, what can I but adore? Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. I want to put before us a question that is, you know, common, I think, for all of us, that grows out of the realization of the fact that, as Romans 6 and verse 23 says, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The price for sin is that we are separated from God. Here and hereafter. We can be separated from God here and still participate in every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father. But if we're separated from God hereafter, there will be no good and perfect gifts. There will only be torment. The place that Jesus said was a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the latter part of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We don't have to pay the price of our sins. Jesus can pay the price of our sins if we let Him. The forgiveness of sins, salvation, and eternal life are gifts of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But there are conditions in Christ Jesus our Lord that we must comply with in order to receive the gift of God. I had a fellow once kind of illustrate that point one time. He, you know, every once in a while you listen to the radio and it says, you know, the 10th caller gets, you know, free tickets to maybe a sporting event or something like that. And he just happened to say, I want to try it. And he actually got the tickets. He said, you win. You got the tickets. He said, great. He says, what do I have to do now? He says, well, you need to come down to the radio station and present your ID and everything, and we'll give you the tickets. So he went to the radio station, presented his ID, and they gave him the tickets. There were some conditions attached to receiving the gift, or in this case, the prize, I guess you might say. And we recognize that sometimes that people are wanting to give us something out of good graces, but at the same time, there's something that we have to do. What are we to do to be saved? I've tried to simplify the answer to that question as much as I can this morning. Simply by saying, well, what did Jesus say we have to do to be saved? Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 and verse 28, more than that, blessed are they who hear and keep the word, hear the word of God and keep it. So very clearly, Jesus said we are to hear the word of God and keep it. If we do so, then we're going to be blessed by God. Well, what if I don't hear and keep the Word of God? Not going to be blessed. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. So Jesus said that if we do not believe, we will die in our sins. What does that mean? Well, it means that we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's certainly true. We must believe in God. We must believe that He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. We must believe everything that the Bible tells us about Jesus. And not only must we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of mankind, we must believe Him. And what He says, that is what we are to do. And so if He says we're to hear the Word of God and keep it, we can be sure that we are to do that. If you don't believe you have to keep the Word of God, then you don't believe Jesus. There's a lot of things about God that we don't know. The Bible tells us that secret things belong to God. But there's a lot of things that God has told us. God is love. Over and over again in the first epistle of John, John makes that point that God is love. And you and I have loved. And we know that when we love someone, it's always greatly appreciated when that love is reciprocated. And we might ask ourselves, well, what can I do to reciprocate, to return love to God? And that's really not up to us. Jesus simply said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you believe that? Except you believe, you will die in your sins. We're to hear what He says, we're to do what He says, we're to believe He is who He is, and we're to trust Him and obey Him. He said in Luke 13 and verse 3, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And so we are to turn around. Sometimes people don't know the definition of Bible words. Many people have the idea that repent means to feel sorry. Well, the Bible tells us that, Peter tells us that godly sorrow leads to repentance. And so there's certainly, we are to be sorry for the fact that we have sinned. We're to be sorry that we have not revered Him and kept His commandments. And therefore glorified Him in the keeping of those commandments. We're to be sorry for that, but that sorrow needs to lead to action on our part, a determination on our part. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to turn away from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, serving self and the things that are here, and I'm going to serve God here and hereafter. I'm going to live to His praise and His glory. Unless you repent, unless you make that decision and turn around, make an about face in your mind, Jesus said you will perish. Whether you believe that or not, that's the truth. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 32, whoever confesses me before men, Him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. So we are to confess Him before men. And in this particular context, Jesus isn't talking about just a one-time confession, but He's really talking about a lifelong profession, a lifelong of letting others know who you live for. Why do you live the way you live? Why do you dress the way you dress? Why do you talk the way you talk? Why do you do the things you do? You do it because God teaches us to live this way, to develop a character of godliness rather than the carnal nature. Jesus said in Mark 16 and verses 15 through 16 to His apostles, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Pretty easy to understand. Sometimes people want to argue with Jesus, and I've never understood that. because their religious tradition says, well, baptism isn't necessary for salvation. But Jesus said it was. Jesus said that baptism is just as necessary for our salvation as belief is. People said, well, when Jesus said here, but he who does not believe will be condemned. He didn't say he who does not believe and is not baptized will be condemned. Why would he say that? He also didn't say he who does not believe and does not repent and does not confess and is not baptized and does not live a faithful life, does not abide in my word. I mean, he could have went on and on. Does not pray, does not live my... You see, if you don't believe, you're not going to do the rest of it. If you don't trust him, you're not going to repent. You're not going to confess. You're not going to be baptized. And people say, well, I don't think you need to be baptized to be saved. You don't believe Jesus then. Jesus said it's just as necessary as belief. Jesus also said that to be saved, he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So once we have believed, notice who Jesus is talking to here. He said to Jews who believed on him. He says, having believed, you must abide in my word. You must live in my word. My word must live in you, and you must display the fact that my word is living in you. Abide in my word, and you'll be my true disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In Matthew 10 and verse 22, Jesus said, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Jesus said that we must endure to the end. There are people today who say, well, once you're saved, you're always saved. It's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, once you're saved, being baptized for the remission of your sins, abide in my word and endure to the end. Don't stop trusting me. Don't stop obeying me. Don't stop living for me. Don't stop displaying the character of godliness in your life. Always live to the praise of his glory. So, what are we to do to be saved? Well, salvation is the gift of God. But God said to receive the gift, this is what we are to do. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, abide in his word, endure to the end. Say, well, there's a lot of people that doesn't... They don't teach that today. Well, are you following their teaching or are you following the teaching of Jesus? And what about the teaching of the apostles? What did they teach that we must do to be saved? Well, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They are in agreement with what Jesus said. Jesus said, you must hear the word of God and keep it. Here we see that that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith doesn't come by hearing what we think and by what we feel, what seems right to us, what a friend or a neighbor might just say that they think we should do. Faith, the faith, comes by hearing the word of God. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. They said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. So having heard the word, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll be saved. That's the end of it? Is it just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? No. We need to understand in what sense he's using this word. Just like Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am he, he's not talking about just believing that I am he, but if you believe that I am the Son of God, and I'm the Word of God made flesh, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, you have to take it all. It's comprehensive. The Philippian jailer asked the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved." Well, what happened after that? They took him and they taught him. Why? Because he needed to hear the gospel. What happened after he heard? He believed. How do we know that he believed? Because he was baptized. He and his household were baptized. And after they were baptized, they were recognized as believers. And so, Paul and Silas here are using believe in the comprehensive sense of the word, not just the affirming sense of the word, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but in the comprehensive sense of trusting Him and obey Him. So he had to hear what he had to trust and obey. And then he had to do what he was taught to trust and obey, just like you and I. And indeed, if we believe in the comprehensive sense of the word, we will be saved, because we'll be doing all that God teaches us to do. The apostles taught in Acts 17 and verse 30, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." So just as Jesus said, you must repent or you'll perish, the apostles are confirming here that God commands, not just a suggestion. This is not something you ought to do. This is a command. You must do this. Repent. Turn from yourself and turn to live to the glory of God. In Romans 10 and verse 10, Paul wrote, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So just as Jesus said, "If you confess me before men," here we find being taught to us that we must confess the Lord Jesus. Believe in our heart that he has raised him from the dead. We must confess him and live a life of professing him as well. In Acts 2 and verse 38, the very familiar passage of Scripture, Peter said to those on the day of Pentecost who asked, "Sirs, what shall we do?" The divine answer, Peter, as he was speaking, as the Spirit was giving him the utterance, said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So just as Jesus said, we must repent, we must believe the gospel, we must be baptized to be saved, here, as Peter was speaking, as the Holy Spirit was leading him, said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." If you want to identify a point in your walk with Christ, a point in your trusting Him and obeying Him in which your sins are actually forgiven by God, it's in this initial act of obedience in being baptized for the remission of our sins, for the taking away of our sins. It's there that we reenact the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as Paul explains to us in Romans chapter 6, that we were buried with him by baptism into death, to rise to walk with him in newness of life. We put that man of sin, our man of sin, to death. We crucify him, we lay him to rest, and we rise to walk in newness of life, not to sin any longer. A servant of righteousness, not a servant of sin. In 2 John verse 9, John wrote, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." So just as Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed," so here also the apostles are teaching us that we are to abide in the doctrine of Christ. And we have both the Father and the Son. We're in fellowship with Almighty God. You're in a relationship with Him. It's a relationship of love, of reciprocating the love of God by keeping His commandments, by abiding in His commandments, by abiding in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ. Hebrews 10 and verse 36 says, "You have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Just as Jesus taught that we are to endure to the end, so we have to have endurance. Not just believe and obey and live for Him for a while, but continue to even mature and grow up in Him and continue all the way to the end of our lives, living for Him, living to His praise and His glory. Clearly, the apostles taught the exact same thing that Jesus taught. What are we to do to be saved? Certainly, we must hear about Him. Because without hearing, we can't believe. But having heard, we must believe. Believe that He is the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. Believe that what He tells us about what we must do to be conformed to His image, we need to trust that and obey it and act upon it. Turn from our sins. Confess Him. Be baptized for the remission of our sins. And to continue to abide in His Word. To trust Him and endure even to the end. That passage we looked at the beginning of our lesson. The wages of sin is death. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we're told we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Somebody's going to pay the price for your sins. Either you are, or you can allow Jesus to. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Will you accept that gift of salvation? Believe Him, trust Him, obey Him, live for Him in His Word from this day forward. That's all it means. Think of all of the sins that you have committed. Think of the terrible things that you have done. And God can speak all of those things forgiven. Forget about all of them because of what Jesus has done for us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, whosoever trusts Him and obeys Him, might not perish. Well, what if I don't obey Him? You're going to perish. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. Don't perish. Turn from your sins. Turn to Him. Obey Him. You have the opportunity today, and we'd encourage you to obey Christ. If you haven't been abiding in Him, as you know that you should as a child of God, and you need to return to Him and have your brothers and sisters pray with you and for you, please let us know, and we would be glad to do that. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?